Tonight, sounding a new alarm as the coronavirus explodes across the U.S. America could soon be looking at 100,000 new cases a day. COVID-19 infections rising in more than 30 states. California shattering its own record. The virus dividing America. New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut expanding their travel advisories, now up to 16 states. Dr. Anthony Fauci warning the country is going in the wrong direction. And some of President Trump's most vocal supporters now appealing to him to wear a mask. Overseas, the EU following through on its threat to ban American travelers. The dangerous spread across Florida, 6,000 new cases, the state topping 150,000. Masks becoming mandatory in Miami and Jacksonville. Tonight, the research showing talking can spread up to 10 times more particles than coughing, and masks can reduce the transmission by up to 50%. Also tonight, the White House denying President Trump was personally briefed about Russia allegedly paying bounties to Taliban fighters for killing American troops. New reports saying he was briefed in writing in February. The White House defending the president, saying when it comes to the threats, he is, quote, the most informed person on planet Earth. The new interview, that couple seen waving guns at protesters in front of their home, what they are now saying about fearing for their safety. The hotel pool confrontation, an employee calling police on an African-American family, accusing the guests of trespassing and demanding their room number. Plus, the beach nightmare, a popular resort, the sewage break spilling into the ocean. And tributes pouring in for a comedy genius, Carl Reiner, his best friend, Mel Brooks, saying nobody could do it better.
This is ABC World News Tonight with David Muir.
And good evening. Thanks for joining us on a Tuesday night. I'm Tom Yamas, in for David. And we begin with the surge of coronavirus sweeping across the country. Cases rising in more than 30 states tonight. Dr. Anthony Fauci warning we could be on track to see 100,000 cases a day, and that surge puts the entire country at risk. The outbreak is dividing America. Tonight, New York, the tri-state area, fearing the outbreak's return, now extending its quarantine order to visitors from 16 states, including California and Georgia. Texas, with a new record number of cases, just under 7,000 in a day. The state now extending its halt on elective surgeries to 8 counties. Arizona, with a record number of COVID patients in ICU beds, activating crisis standards at its hospitals. In Miami-Dade County, outreach teams are going door-to-door, handing out supplies, urging people to social distance and wear masks. And in California, where bars and beaches are shut down in several hot spots, the governor saying stricter stay-at-home restrictions may return. That announcement to come tomorrow. California is one of several states hitting pause or reversing course in an urgent rush to halt the spread. ABC's Matt Gutman leads us off in California.
Tonight in California, the first state to shut down and one of the last to reopen, COVID-19 exploding. Nearly a quarter of a million cases, and the governor with a stern warning.
If you're not going to stay home and you're not going to wear masks in public, we have to enforce, and we will.
The situation so dire that New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, which have beaten back COVID after tens of thousands of deaths, now slapping a 14-day quarantine on visitors from California and a growing list of 15 other states where the virus is surging. With the nation notching 40,000 new cases a day, Dr. Anthony Fauci today warning those case numbers could easily double.
I would not be surprised if we go up to 100,000 a day if this does not turn around, and so I am very concerned. I think it's important to tell you and the American public that I'm very concerned because it could get very bad.
It is bad in California's farm belt of Imperial County. So overwhelmed, they've medevaced over 500 patients out of the county. And outside that hospital, a tent to handle the surge of patients. Morgues have backed up, and now the county is ordering refrigerated trucks for the dead. And nearby Riverside County, 99% of the ICUs full.
We're seeing a large number of cases coming in where multiple family members are infected.
Los Angeles County, with over 100,000 cases alone, closing beaches and banning fireworks over the 4th of July weekend. 51-year-old Tommy Macias of California sharing on Facebook that he was diagnosed with COVID after going to a barbecue. Because of my stupidity, I put my mom and sisters and my family's health in jeopardy. This has been a very painful experience. His family says he was a diabetic and had been careful wearing masks and social distancing for months. But Tommy Macias passed away the day he went to the hospital.
It was absolutely shocking. I wasn't in the room when my mom got the call. I heard her cry out. I still don't want to believe it.
With the virus rising in 35 states, 17 states either pausing or rolling back reopenings. In Arizona, deaths climbing. Our Kaylee Hartung with paramedics on COVID calls in Mesa. Today, a 40-year-old patient with trouble breathing. His mother rushing to see him before he's taken to the hospital.
I just came so I could... Because, you know, we can't see them. We can't talk. So, well, anyway, I just wanted to see him. That's all.
That separation for COVID patients and their families, so difficult. Matt joins us now from a testing site at Dodger Stadium. And Matt, California's governor with a real warning tonight. Many anxious to know if the state is going to see more restrictions again.
Tom, the governor talked about toggling back on those stay-at-home orders, which likely means reinstituting a lot of those restrictions that we've been seeing over the past couple of months. Now, he mentioned something we haven't heard much about recently, and that is enforcement, but he didn't specify. One thing that is clear, the number of cars at this testing site, the traffic goes back for miles, which likely means the number of COVID cases here is going to continue to soar. Tom.
All right, Matt Gutman leading us off tonight from California. Matt, thank you. Florida topping more than 150,000 cases, and a quarter of all those cases are in Miami-Dade County. Several major cities in Florida now have made wearing masks mandatory. Tonight, the research and the demonstrations of what difference they can make. ABC's Victor Oquendo is in Miami Beach.
As the Sunshine State surpasses 150,000 coronavirus cases and counting, local leaders are enacting new measures desperate to slow the spread. Effective today, masks are mandatory on Miami Beach at all times, with few exceptions.
Just wear the darn mask.
If you don't wear one, you face a $50 fine.
If this mask ordinance doesn't work, what's next?
Well, you know, there's not a lot of tools left in the kit for us. I think everybody declared a victory too early.
Florida's governor said his state was a success story just last month.
You got a lot of people in your profession who waxed poetically for weeks and weeks about how Florida was going to be just like New York. Wait 2 weeks, Florida's going to be next. Just like Italy, wait 2 weeks. Well, hell, we're 8 weeks away from that, and it hasn't happened.
That was then, but now cases and hospitalizations are on the rise, and there are calls for a statewide mask mandate, something the governor has resisted. Studies have shown that the virus may spread by even just talking. Some research noting people can release up to 10 times more particles through speech than a cough.
Stay healthy.
This demonstration shows how wearing a mask can reduce spread by some estimates up to 50%.
Stay healthy.
For now, Florida's mask regulations vary from city to city. In Jacksonville, where Ernst Bell lost his father to COVID-19, a new mandate was enacted this week. He has this message for people who are not taking mask recommendations seriously.
If the people that, you know, he saw were wearing masks, he'd probably still be alive.
And there are some strict rules in place for restaurants here on Miami Beach, including a limited amount of time for when they can serve alcohol. And the mayor tells me another curfew is likely. Tom?
Victor Oquendo showing us the science and the research tonight. Victor, thank you. The European Union reopens its borders to visitors from 15 countries tomorrow, but the U.S. did not make the list. EU officials citing the surge in cases here at home. ABC's James Longman joins us now from London. And James, no American tourists means no American tourist dollars either.
That's right, Tom. This is a blow on both sides of the Atlantic. Europe's famous landmarks and beaches are normally a magnet for American tourists and a major source of income here. But travelers from the US will not be allowed into Europe when borders reopen tomorrow. America joins Russia and Brazil on a long list of countries considered too risky. 15 countries will be allowed, as you say, including Canada and Australia. Now, the decision was based on a number of things like the ratio of infections, the trend in cases, and sufficient social distancing measures. So all this means it's likely direct flights from the United States to Europe will be cancelled. It's going to be reviewed every 2 weeks, but this is a diplomatic nightmare, Tom.
James Longman with that major headline from London tonight. All right, James, thank you. Back here at home, and let's turn to politics now. Joe Biden blasting President Trump's response to the coronavirus pandemic, saying our wartime president has surrendered and left the battlefield. In his first news conference in months, the Democrats' presumptive nominee saying the president, quote, failed us. And tonight, President Trump is moving ahead with his 4th of July celebration at Mount Rushmore, where no masks or social distancing will be required. Here's ABC's Mary Bruce.
Joe Biden today accused President Trump of abandoning the country he leads in the midst of this growing crisis.
Donald Trump failed us.
Biden says Trump is in retreat.
And it seems like our wartime president has surrendered, waved the right flag, what white flag, and left the battlefield. We can't continue half wearing masks and half rejecting science. We can't continue half with a plan and half just hoping for the best.
The president has barely mentioned the new surge in cases, and he still refuses to wear a mask in public, even as his own vice president and top Republicans are now urging Americans to wear them. His allies on Fox News joining in.
I think they work. And I said, especially if I wear a mask and it opens up baseball, concerts, NFL football, I'd rather wear the mask and go to the game.
If the president wore one, it would just set a good example. He'd be a good role model.
Today, I asked Biden what he would tell Americans.
The response to this pandemic has become very politicized. Even wearing a mask has become political. If elected, how are you going to get Americans on the same page?
I think we have to start appealing to the better side of human nature by pointing out that that mask is not so much to protect me, it's to protect you against me. It's to protect other people. And it's called patriotism. It's called responsibility.
Now, Biden says he wishes he could be out meeting with voters, but for the sake of the common good, he will not be holding campaign rallies. That's a stark contrast with the president, who plans to celebrate the 4th of July at Mount Rushmore with thousands of people and no social distancing. Tom.
Mary Bruce for us tonight. Mary, thank you. Now to the White House. On the defensive over reports, President Trump received written intelligence that Russia paid bounties to Taliban fighters for killing American troops. New reports saying the intelligence was in his presidential daily briefing months ago. The White House defending the president, saying when it comes to threats, he is, quote, the most informed person on planet Earth. ABC's Jonathan Carl's at the White House tonight.
Today, the White House refused to say whether President Trump received intelligence as part of his written presidential daily briefing that Russia offered bounty payments to the Taliban for killing American troops. The New York Times reported the information was presented to President Trump back in February.
So the PDB is a top secret document that is widely disseminated among government. I will never sit here and confirm or deny what is in a top secret document.
That prompted reporters to ask if the president actually reads the intelligence he's given.
The president does read, and he also consumes intelligence verbally. This president, I'll tell you, is the most informed person on planet Earth when it comes to the threats that we face.
Over the weekend, the president dismissed reports of Russian bounty payments as, quote, possibly another fabricated Russia hoax. But the administration has now conducted separate briefings on the intelligence for both Republicans and Democrats.
The president called this a hoax publicly. Nothing in the briefing that we have just received led me to believe it is a hoax.
Several Republicans emerged from their briefing calling the information gravely serious.
America's adversaries should know, and they should have no doubt, that any targeting of U.S. forces by Russians, by anyone else, will face a very swift and deadly response.
That's a message the president himself has still not sent.
All right, John Carl joins us now from the White House. And John, the White House press secretary saying that the president has now been briefed on the intelligence about Russia.
Tom, she said that the president has been briefed, but neither the president nor his spokesperson has said whether Russia will pay a price if, in fact, the Russian government offered a bounty for the killing of American troops. Tom?
Jonathan Carl with that important update tonight. John, thank you. In other news, the interim police chief in Aurora, Colorado, says several officers are under investigation for allegedly posing for photographs near the site where Elijah McClain was forcibly arrested before dying in custody. Body cam video from last August shows police approaching McClain and then pinning him for several minutes in a neck hold. Several reports claim the officers now under investigation were photographed reenacting the arrest.
On Sunday, a violent vigil in memory of Elijah McClain held there in Aurora came to an end when riot police moved in, lobbing pepper spray. A lawyer from McClain's family was there and said the police action was unprovoked. Next, that troubling incident at a Hampton Inn in Williamston, North Carolina. An employee confronted an African-American mother and her two children at the pool, asking them to prove they were guests at the hotel, but showing their room key wasn't enough. The employee called police, who ran the plates on the family's car. Tonight, that employee no longer works at the Hampton Inn, and the mother has released video of the encounter. Here's ABC's Adrian Banker.
A disturbing encounter at a hotel pool.
I'm here on business. So they are harassing me.
This woman accused by a hotel employee of trespassing at a North Carolina Hampton Inn.
She says it's people like you that comes to the pool that's not authorized. Who's people like me? Black people?
Police say hotel staff found Ednita Wright's two children swimming alone on Friday. When staff located Wright in her car nearby in the parking lot, she refused to give her name and room number. Staff called police.
I have a key to get it, and I can show you that it worked.
Wright accusing the employee and police for discrimination.
I have no reason to tell who I am. I proved that I'm here. It was two white people sitting over there. She said nothing to them.
Officers later used her vehicle registration to confirm that she had two rooms booked by her employer. The Hilton hotel chain says that they apologized directly to the guest and her family for their experience.
Hilton tells us that staffer is no longer employed at the hotel. Police say they will conduct a thorough investigation. Tom?
Back now with news about the armed couple seen by millions in St. Louis. A prosecutor now investigating Mark and Patricia McCloskey. The husband and wife, both lawyers, waving guns as protesters marched by their home Sunday night. The couple claiming they were terrified when protesters broke down the iron gate to their private street.
It was like the storming of the Bastille. The gate came down and a large crowd of very angry, shouting, aggressive people poured through. I was terrified that we'd be murdered within seconds.
For their part, protesters say they were peaceful. Back tonight with a historic moment in Mississippi. Governor Tate Reeves signing the bill a short time ago, retiring the state flag featuring the Confederate emblem. The state resisted the move for years until the police killing of George Floyd and the protests sweeping the nation. The governor says they will find a new symbol for all Mississippi. And news tonight about the search for a missing soldier from Fort Hood, Texas. Authorities finding human remains while looking for Private First Class Vanessa Guillen. She vanished in April. Authorities say the unidentified remains were discovered in a shallow grave near a river in Bell County. The Army, FBI, and Sheriff's Department and Texas Rangers are now all on the scene. And the beach resort nightmare in Acapulco. Take a look at this. A sewage break pouring into the ocean. The problem may have been caused by heavy rains and flooding in the area. Environmental authorities launching an investigation. Acapulco had improved the quality of its beaches during a recent three-month coronavirus quarantine. Finally tonight, celebrating Carl Reiner, a comedy master for decades. Even the greats say he was their idol.
There she is. There's the little lady who puts you out of business.
Carl Reiner knew how to make people laugh, working in show business for more than 60 years. But his jokes never got old.
This, Al, is your story.
He was born in the Bronx in 1922. After high school, he took a free acting class and joined a theater group that eventually landed him on Broadway, where he would be discovered. In 1950, he joined the cast and writing team of the influential sketch comedy show, Your Show of Shows.
I will see you and then I will hear you.
That's right. Can I come? You hear that? Hello? You hear that?
Oh, yes.
Reiner would go on to create, write, and co-star in The Dick Van Dyke Show, one of the most celebrated TV shows of all time.
Whatever you were going to say to Laura, I would rather you said to me.
Okay, Rob, if that's the way you want it. Rob, you're a beautiful girl.
But it was in those early years during Your Show of Shows that he would meet a young Mel Brooks, and a lifelong friendship was formed.
How many children do you have?
I have over 42,000 children. And not one comes to visit me.
His jokes made him a fortune. His talent made him a force in Hollywood.
If you have a project, go and work on it. And then when you finish, start a new project. That's what keeps you alive.
And he would go on to direct the likes of Steve Martin in multiple films, including one of the all-time greats, The Jerk.
The accent and the power, that's all I need.
Smith. Remote control.
Steve Martin today calling Reiner my greatest mentor in movies and in life. Reiner would continue acting late into his career, starring alongside George Clooney and Brad Pitt in the Ocean's 11 franchise.
We're just supposed to walk out of there with $150 million in cash on us without getting stopped?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
His son, the film director, Rob Reiner, calling him my guiding light. And tonight, Mel Brooks calling him a giant, unmatched in his contributions to entertainment. Carl Reiner was 98. Thanks so much for watching. I'm Tom Yamas. I'll see you right back here tomorrow. Stay safe. Good night.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table.
What is happening here?
It's just beautiful chaos.
Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view.
To be honest, I was thinking about asking him for a foot massage, and then I just froze.
This is the best gig on TV.
And you know, anything can happen.
That is what we do here.
I'm not going to lie, the chair's a little small for my behind.
The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.